Thank you. Let's move on to the Q&A part. The first question comes from Carolina Dores, Morgan Stanley. Does the guidance of growth in 2019 include any benefit from adjustment of IFRS 15, 16? If so, how much do you expect EBITDA to increase due to these accounting changes?
Pepe, can you reply to the question?
Yes. Well, at level of the EBITDA, it will affect in around IFRS 15, no, because we have already adjusted that for 2019 and 2018. IFRS 16 at the EBITDA level will increase around 60 million, but will also increase our debt in around 400 million. We will explain that more in detail next week, no? At net profit level, obviously no, because it is an accounting change, just putting the results in one place or in another. Okay?
Second question comes from Rui Dias, UBS, and I assume that he's talking about 2019 guidance. His question is, are you assuming a normalized hydro year in Iberia? If so, aren't you concerned with the fact that current hydro output, rainfall, and reserves are below normalized level?
Of course, I think when we make our budget, always we make an average rainfall year, which I think is normal. As far as I know, in this moment, the reserves up to today is around 30% higher than they were already previous year. I think we are in the range of 5 terawatt-hours already in our dams that were something 3.3 or 3.5 previous year. It's 30% more than previous year already in this moment.
Third question comes again from Carolina Dores, Morgan Stanley. What is the average hedge price in Spain for 2019, and how that compares with 2018?
Paco, you mentioned that one.
Yes. We have already closed all the production expected for this year, for 2019, and the price is around 3 euros per megawatt hour higher than 2018.
Fourth question comes from Meike Becker, Bernstein. What do you expect the timeline to be in Spain to put the new rate of return for networks activity into the law?
Well, I think we have already seen in last week was already approved the return of powers of remuneration regulated activities to the regulator, to the CNMV, which I think is, you know, then these people has already long time, has already decide that the remuneration had not have to be already in line with the WACC instead of the long-term bonds, which were already previous time. I think they will take some time on analyzing those thing and fixing those ones. For the time being, we are already in the situation we are. We are keeping our 6.5%, so which I think is nothing has been changed. I think is that is the situation at present. I think it takes some time. Meantime, I think we continue with the same remuneration than we had already before.
Next question come from, again, Rui Dias, UBS, and is related to regulation. Do you think a potential change in government could put at risk the work that has been developed by the current government? Do you think there is a chance for a reverse of some of the measures, renewable targets, allowed returns, CNMC independency, et cetera?
Well, I think I don't think so. I think today is going to be presented the climate and energy plan. We have to be submitted to European Union. We have 2 months delay. As far as I know, the people has been working on that one are almost the same people who has been working in with the previous government. I think is national planning is not something which had already been made without already expert on that one. I think I hope then the presentation which is going to be held today at midday is already to be in line what we has been already talking with different members of the administration for a long time now and before, to make already Spain to benefit of the extraordinary good condition we have already in solar, in wind, and even in storage with the hydroelectric power plant that we have in this moment. I'm not expecting changes on that one. The fact, I think the CNMC, the withdrawal of the powers has been already supported by everybody, and even the Partido Popular has not already opposed to that one.
Next question comes from Javier Suárez, Mediobanca. He's asking about the dividend for 2018 has been increased quite materially. Can you explain us the rationale behind this significant increase when leverage is still relatively high?
So I think it's to be coherent with our policy. We've been saying for the last 20 years that the dividend will increase in line with benefit, with profits, keeping already a payout in the range between 65 and 75. That is precisely what we are doing. I think we are increasing in line. I think the profit was 7.5 up, this is 7.7, but I think it's to make round numbers. I think I've not seen, then we will put already in July, instead of 0.2, we can already make 0.199. So I think we decide to put 0.2, which is much easier to be explained. But I think that is exactly maintaining our dividend policy, which has been already the same one for many years. So increasing the dividend in line with profits and maintaining a payout between 65 and 75. So I think that is precisely what we have already done.
The next question comes from Meike Becker, Bernstein, and Jorge Guimarães Haitón, and are three questions related to Brazil. The first one is, you mentioned the progress in Brazil. Would you mind elaborating what has gone well and what the next step are? The second one is, can you elaborate on the Brazilian impacts in financial results, namely, if any restructuring changes has been included in financial cost in the fourth quarter of 2018? And finally, the Brazilian regulator ANEEL has stopped the distribution of dividends to a regulated company in Brazil called Goiás. Does this increase the regulatory risk in Brazil given that there is a new government?
So what has already gone well in Brazil? I would like to say everything. I think it's rate cases, the remuneration of regulated activities in the two of the largest distribution companies has to increase. The efficiency measures taken has already generated almost 300 million reais savings. The third one is we changed the financial structure, which allow ourselves to diminish drastically the cost of the cost of our debt. And fourth, I think we have already succeed in gaining certain auctions. We give already us just a very high worth in the last few years. I mentioned that with the existing committed investment, the RAP of the regulatory asset base of our regulated activities almost will double, which I think that is something reaching something like, I don't remember about the numbers, 36 billion reais by the 2022. And finally, I think we have already made extremely good work already in terms of quality of service, which precisely doesn't allow us to happen, we has already allowed happen to our competitor. So our competitor has not been able to succeed in achieving the targets that ANEEL is already fixing for each in quality service for each of the distribution companies, and they are already, the regulator is allowed to penalize if they have even allowed to withdraw the concession if they are not already reaching the terms already agreed with the regulator. That is not happening at all. The fact we have not in the plans what is already the special supervision with that making the regulator, we have not, I don't know if there one is still there, but I think we are not at risk, no one of our distribution companies this time, because the efficiency measure in the investment make and the quality service provide is far for what is already the risky area, what has already happened to some of our competitors.
Regarding the financial expenses, I think we have explained that this year we are accounted 244 million versus 86 last year, so 158 million more. There has not been any special charge in Brazil, but we have to remind that there is an impact of 35 million that it has to do with the IFRS 9, which in the previous year we didn't have, and this has been a change in the accounting that have passed something that was not impacting 2017 results. So we have an additional 35 million only due to an accounting change. Also, you have to take into account that in terms of what we do normally, which is the hedge of currencies, last year we had very positive results as the dollar devaluated against the euro strongly, and this year we have seen a recovery of the currencies, especially in the fourth quarter. So actually the derivative impacts that we are accounting the financial expenses have been less positive than last year. And I think these two elements, the 35 million or three elements plus the increase in the financial expenses coming from Brazil, and the impact or the less positive impact of FX derivatives explain the, and obviously the increase in the average net debt increase explain the increase in the net financial expenses, despite the fact that our financial costs have been going down.
Next question is related to UK liberalised business. It comes from Stefano Bezzato, Credit Suisse, and Carolina Dores, Morgan Stanley. Can you provide some more detail on the growth in EBITDA for the UK liberalised business? Does this include any capital gain from the disposal of the power generation asset to Drax? And finally, can you split the UK liberalised EBITDA in generation, supply and other services?
So I think in the first question related to the capital gain, automatically I said to you, no, our policy that if there are any, always will come already in the recurring result on the bottom line of the account. So it's not included at all any capital gain on that one. And related these two things, I think perhaps you can already, Ignacio, send this information to them because I'm not by hand. But I think by memory, I know that traditionally, I don't have the numbers, my memory, traditionally the results in power generation used to be not positive or very or negative. That is the reason why we've been selling that one, or just little margin. And in terms of retail, I think the situation was normalized. The previous year, we have a tremendous negative impact of several things. Among others, all our problems we suffered with the changes of our billing system, and I think that has been normalized. So, but I'm not now in my head already the numbers. Ignacio, you can provide all this information.
Next
but I think no capital gain included at the bid. I know for certain.
Our next question comes from Meike Becker from Bernstein. Could you give us the impact of the price cap in the UK on your Q1 2019 results?
I don't know in the first quarter, but I think in the whole year, the numbers which I know already in my head is on the range of £100 million. So, but I'm not the quarter by quarter, not in the, but in the whole year is around £100 million, which is going to affect on this one.
Javier Suarez from Mediobanca asked about Avangrid, and the question is, Avangrid has revised downwards its outlook for 2019. Can you explain us the reason behind and what managerial action, if any, can be taken to correct underperformance?
So, I think the numbers we are providing is already account something which in some more realistic thing. I think in the terms, especially in renewables, I think we've been affected first by the certain of PPAs we had already in the state has already finished the life. I think PPAs we have been 14 years, something else, they are ending. So we are forced to sell. The prices is going to go down in those PPAs which are already been finished, the validity. And the second one, I think, is the rest of the items is mainly that one. So, is in the wind as well. We've been adjusting the wind. We've seen in the last few years, then systematically, the expectation of wind is already been is less and less. So, which I think we are adjusting in our budget. So, to average of the last few years, to put the numbers in what is really already happening. So, from one reason or another one, we are in the state, you see that the climatic change is affecting all those things, and that is affecting as well to ourselves. The fact, I think, last December was probably the less windy year in decades in the state. So, and that been adjusted in our projection, together with the prices of the PPAs, which has not already finished, and that we are already just adjusting these two things. No, you come.
Yeah, Pepe. The next question is related to the topic that Pepe was mentioning. It's coming from Meike Becker from Resting. Would you mind reminding us how much amounted the storm cost and other one-offs in the U.S. in 2018?
The impact of storms in this year was $169 million, and obviously, as the chairman was explaining, that has had a negative impact on the EPS of the company during 2018.
Jorge Guimarães from Haitong is asking about how much cost related to efficiency improvement measures have been booked in the fourth quarter of 2018.
In the fourth quarter, so I don't know. You can already explain that one. You can say this information. I don't know the information in my mind. So,
next question is from Jorge again. Is can all the EBITDA from Mexico in 2018 be considered as recurrent?
Yes, and I think it's not any reason why it's not to be recurrent. I think our expectation even is it's going to improve because we are already putting some more power in operation this year.
We have a question from Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, and Jorge Guimarães, Haitong, that is related to the Spanish regulation. And can you please update on the latest negotiation with the administration of the future of nuclear generation fleet in Spain? And so, we have another additional related that is from Rui Díaz, UBS. When should we expect the potential positive impact from the extension of the nuclear asset life in your accounts to take place, and what would be the impact?
Well, let's see today what is going to be announced by the government. As far as I know, for the media, is that the plan on the national energy plan is that nuclear power plant will be closed between 2025 and 2035. So I think it's a lot of comments and noises, but we will expect today what is going to be this data. But I think what is already just trying to put is what is the country needs in terms of power, and how this power can already been already substituted for another alternatives. And that is what we will see today at midday, what is going to be presented in the ministry. We'll be delighted to be able to make all those comments next Tuesday when we meet in London.
Next question comes from Andrew Mulder from CreditSights, and it's related to Brexit. Around 20% of your EBITDA comes from the UK. How are you protecting this in the event of a hard Brexit?
So, as you know, and I repeat several times, we are not a company where we are exporting or importing goods. I think we are a company where we are almost fully regulated, almost 90% regulated. We are already been paying in pounds. We are investing in pounds. Most of our suppliers are British, so almost 80% of our investment are already produced in locally. And only it reminds something, which I think certain investments which are ongoing, mainly in East Anglia, with certain equipment, which is 40% or something else is imported, what we have already all coverage for all those things. So I think the impact mostly should be the effects when we consolidate on our accounts, but economically I think is not any effect. And the effects for this year, and perhaps to Pepe you can already explain that one, we have already hedges already made for the whole year as we make with all currencies. So in this moment 100% of our results, expected result in Britain are already hedges for the effects.
The last question we have received is from my point of view is a very local one, so please allow me to switch to Spanish. El gobierno español presenta hoy el PIE, que el PIE.
The Spanish government presents today the Spanish Climate and Environment Plan. What do you expect to be announced?
Well, a few days ago in Davos, I made some comments because I received a very similar question, and I made some comments, and I mentioned this to some of my colleagues. And I said that one of the things that we've been saying for a long time, and that is that the struggle against climate change is not a problem, it's a major opportunity. And for Spain, it's a major opportunity because we are a country that has all kinds of resources. So therefore, we have sun, we have wind, and we also have reservoirs so that we can transform this into storage. And Iberdrola has been doing this for many years, and we have lots of storage capability right now. So this offers major opportunities to produce cleaner power, cheaper power, and If the interconnections are developed with the rest of Europe, we'd even be able to export these resources we already have, because at Iberdrola we have some wind farms that we are building now where the power, where we have signed agreements with the Dutch companies that buy our energy. This is a fact. So therefore, I think that this is a positive issue, and let's wait and see to what the government has to say for itself today. But I think that climate change and adequate energy planning that will allow us to offer the necessary safety that the country requires to make investments is undoubtedly a wonderful opportunity for the country, and I know that things will be done reasonably. And Iberdrola is along these lines, and we are now making very significant investments. We've implemented lots of wind farms and lots of issues that we'll be presenting next week in all detail.
To conclude this presentation.
So, thank you very much for participating in this short conference call. I hope we'll see all of you next Tuesday in our Capital Market Day, which we can already update you our long-term plans, which I announced to you that we would like to accelerate all what we have been doing. I think we said during the year we are going to reach certain results. The result is here. We are already ahead of a schedule of our plan, and I think it's our plan for the next few years is going to continue this range of acceleration of our investment and our result. So, but we will already have the opportunity of sharing with you all our thoughts next Tuesday. Thank you very much, and see you next Tuesday in London. Thank you.